Mark chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. In this discourse, I want to continue what I started in the previous discourse on the parables. I want to finish it, parables part 2. As we have seen, the parables are not quite, we can say that, not quite what people think. Oh yes, there's a simple story. Sowers go out to sow. Prodigal sons go eat in pigsties and all that. You know, people understand the story. But there's a mystery. There is a hiddenness. There is a secretness about parables, as Jesus says, so that people don't perceive that they're hidden, these meanings. The unbelievers don't see it. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to the regenerate. But those who are unregenerate, they can see the bare bones of the story, but they don't know what it's really about. It's hidden. But it comes right for those who can hear. Those with eyes can see. But those who can't see, spiritually speaking, never do understand. You remember Khrushchev? When his spacemen went into space, he said, you know, we've been out into space, he said, we haven't found God, so we didn't see God there, so, you know, there is no God. Well, the poor chap didn't realize he didn't have eyes to see. He didn't have to go into space to see God, inverted commas. The heavens are declaring the being of God, the glory of God. He could see it all around him, the evidence for God. You don't need to travel into space. But he could do what he wanted, but until he was regenerate, he would never see. Isaiah is very clear. Who has believed our preaching? You can preach about Christ and the gospel, and it makes no difference to people. There is water off a duck's back. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. There is nothing that we like about him at all. Nothing about this gospel at all is irrelevant until God breaks in and the blind see and the deaf hear. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. Now, in this next stage, he actually goes further. The parables actually harden. When the gospel comes to men and they don't see it, they don't respond, they don't turn, they don't repent, they don't believe, what happens? They do not stay the same. Now, I'm not just talking about listening to preaching, but it is preaching. But whenever there's a witness of a conversation, reading the Bible or whatever it might be, reading a tract, thoughts of God coming in powerfully, unless a man is converted to Christ, turned to Christ, brought nearer to Christ, what is happening? Then he's getting hardened. They may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. To those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that, in order that, it does this kind of harden. Now, I'm not saying there's no mystery here, but I remember with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was hard, for Pharaoh's heart with Moses and Aaron, his heart was hardened, but he also hardened his heart, we are told. And it combines together. Because he wouldn't respond, it gets harder and harder. And God is sovereign, working out this hardening purpose. And his purpose was to bring his people out in glorious power. So this is the point here. It's the warning to us. There are many things I don't understand about these parables. There are many things I don't understand about this sovereignty of God's will and so on. But I see this. When the word of God comes to me, if I don't respond to it in a spiritual, godly, Holy Spirit way, responding spiritually to it, if I don't do that, what happens to me? I do not stay neutral. The gospel is designed either to be saving or to be hardening. Of course, this isn't popular talk today. Everything is made easy and slushy and mushy and grey and adaptable and acceptable, and it's all this presentation has got to be just right and so on. But Jesus is not concerned about that. The gospel itself is cutting. I haven't come to bring peace. I've come to bring a division. I will set man against man. Why? Because the gospel will do it. And this is the point here. The common view of evangelism today, we must muddle everything together. Not so with Christ. He separates those on the outside from those on the inside. The answer is that we need ears to hear. We need to understand. We need to be regenerate. We need to repent. We need to believe. We need to be turned and be saved. Ever seeing, never perceiving. Oh, God, give us seeing eyes, spiritually seeing hearts and minds. May we always perceive. May we hear, but may we understand and appreciate and receive. May we turn. And may we actually turn now. Oh, friend, turn to Christ in repentance and cry out to him. If you feel God is speaking to you at the moment, don't delay. Oh, I'll come back tomorrow or the next day or next week. No, come now. Now is the time. It's the important thing. Never turn away from Christ. Receive him and believe. This is how John Fawcett put it. Don't restrict this to listening to preachers in pulpits. It's all the word of God when we hear it. Thy presence, gracious God, afford. Prepare us, prepare me to receive thy word. Now let thy voice engage my ear and faith be mixed with what I hear. That's an individual prayer. Distracting thoughts and cares remove and fix my heart and hopes above. With food divine may I be fed and satisfied with living bread. I know Fawcett put it in the plural, but I'm making it individual. To me, the sacred word apply with sovereign power and energy. Yeah, that's what we must have. It might just lie on the surface of the mind. And may I, in your faith and fear, reduce to practice what I hear. Father, in me, your Son reveal. Teach me to know and do your will, your Spirit send, your love display, and guide me to the realms of day. Understand this, my friend. You could be a sermon taster, but every time you hear the word of God, every time I preach the word of God, every time I hear the word of God, I am not left the same as I was before. I am either closer to Christ or hardened away from him. Make sure it's closer to Christ. And be so close as to be in him by faith, trusting and relying upon him for salvation. Amen.